So this morning, we're continuing our message on the journey. Can I come down in these a little bit? In the journey of to Bethlehem. So God continues his plan of redemption in a fallen world with, again, one man. And the promise that this man's offering, or this man's offspring, would bless the world. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. So we meet Abraham first in the book of Genesis. Abraham is the beginning of the Hebrew people. He's the beginning of the nation of Israel, and ultimately the church. He is in the family tree of Jesus and is called by Paul in Romans 4:16, the father of us all. So Terah, Abraham's father, took his family from Ur and headed to Canaan, clearly where God is wanting him to be. And you see in this map, Ur is down here. And he takes him up to Haran and stops. Now, some archaeologists put Ur a little bit to the northeast of Haran, and some put it far down there, and it just depends. But either way, Terah got his family to Haran, and there they stopped. And Terah dies. So God tells Abraham to continue the journey. But the call isn't an easy one. God calls them to leave a place that they know well. They have spent a great deal of time there. They're not young. So Abraham at this time is 75 years old. So kind of dial that in as we're thinking through all of this, because Abraham's an old man by anyone's standards. And so God is calling him to make quite a journey all the way to the Holy Land. Haran and Ur are cities of great wealth, of comfort. They are economic hubs of the day. I don't think even with that we would really recognize them very well. Remember, these are an ancient people, mainly tribal. And so their lives aren't like our lives, right? When their electricity goes out, oh wait, they never had it unless they ever saw a lightning bolt. They didn't have running water. They were lucky to find that when they could. And believe it or not, there are still nomadic people that live very much the same way to this day. Except when you're in that area, and I've seen this, so it's quite interesting, they will actually have these massive tanks on wheel chassis that are being pulled by their camels, and of course the tanks are full of water. That way they at least carry their water with them. They lived in tents made out of goat hair. So it's kind of interesting. What happens even to this day of the nomadic people and during that time is young girls about age 5 would begin to learn to weave goat hair tents. And when they finished the tent, they were ready to be married. And so you could make, and these, by the way, when we talk tents, you would not buy these tents at Walmart. These were massive tents with bedrooms and all these different rooms all around. And goat hair is a neat use for tents, because it's quite, I mean, you've pet a goat, right? They're kind of wiry and, I mean, yeah, and then you have to wash your hands like 5 times. But goat hair has a unique ability. When goat hair gets wet, it swells. So in the summer and in the dry months, the wind would actually just blow right through the tent and keep it cool, and the hair would help filter it out. But in the wet, when it starts to rain, it would swell up and become watertight. And so actually a really neat thing. And so here we have this group of people that are wandering around, and they would settle and make cities, but even then they would be somewhat nomadic. And Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," and by the way, I'm going to call him Abraham, but God hasn't changed his name yet. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you." So he's not even saying, go to Canaan. He's saying, you're going to go where I show you. Just keep going. And when we get there, so, you know, when your kids and you're sitting in the back seat and you're saying, are we there yet? At least your parents had an idea, right, of where they were going, and how, unless it was my father and he just wandered. Literally, I have this thing, his license plate said, all who will wander are not lost, you know, off of J.R.R. Tolkien's. That was what he lived by. And that's basically what Abraham lived by. God said, go to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse them. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, Abraham just has to go by what he hears from God. He doesn't have a Bible. He's not carrying around cuneiform tablets or anything that he can memorize. He is simply going off of what he has heard and from God himself. He doesn't attend a church where he has the support of the body. All he had was the voice of God himself and a promise. But what a promise that is. So if you look at the promise, one is, I want you to go to a land, but I will show you the land. So God promises him a direction. I'm going to show you where it is. And then, now keep in mind, Abraham is 75 years old. And how many children does Abraham have? Zero. That's important. I will make of you a great nation. Just to be clear, how this applies to us is you are never beyond the point that God can use you to bless other people. Right? Abraham is 75 years old, and God said, I'm going to use you to bless the whole world. He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those that dishonor you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. This is quite an undertaking. And by the way, Abraham's how old? 75. By the way, what was it? Colonel Sanders, right, was 68 when he started frying chicken and selling it door to door. He died a billionaire, right? He borrowed enough money to cook up some chicken, and it was a success, and the rest is history. So often we get this idea that we are insignificant. But there is always the opportunity to be significant in someone's life by sharing the gospel, by serving them. Genesis 12:4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And so Abraham not only goes, but he takes his family with him. And he says, let's go. God is on the move. And he's moving us from this place. And it says in 12:4, so Abraham went. That's the hardest thing. Well, let's see. Was it really God? You know what he's saying doesn't make sense. And so sometimes we relate whether or not something is logical with whether or not it is from God. But what makes Abraham faithful is he recognizes the voice of God. And he follows that voice regardless. Now, people come to me and say, Pastor, how do you talk to God? Well, let's see. Not really sure about that. Number one way you hear the voice of God is read his word. Pastor, I just pray and pray and pray, and God isn't talking to me. Really? Do you read the word? Because if your word sits on your shelf, don't pray to hear his voice. Because we're called to know this. Study to show yourself approved. Be able to defend the word of God. Always. How many of you have asked, by the way, Kenny Cabral, how are you, Kenny?
Ready.
How many of you have heard him say that? How many of you have asked him what that means? I asked him. I said, Kenny, what are you ready for? I am always ready to share the love of Jesus Christ. How are you, Kenny? I am ready. I like that so much better. When I was in Cincinnati, no matter who you asked, how are you, they'd say, better than I deserve. I'm like, not sure where. And then finally I figured out, well, that comes from someone famous, right? Does anyone know who that is? David Ramsey, right? How are you? Better than I deserve. I'm like, I didn't like that. I like this. How are you? I'm ready. I'm ready to share the gospel. It's knowing the word of God. Also, spending time with the Lord in prayer. My mother calls. Now I have caller ID. But even before caller ID, and yes, believe it or not, there was a day before caller ID. And cell phones. If I picked up the phone and my mother was on the other end, I knew it because I recognized her voice. I recognized her voice because I spent time talking to my mother. So when people say, well, when God talks to you, how do you know it's God? Because I spend time talking to God. And I've learned the difference between the voice in my head, or voices, as may be applicable, and the voice of the enemy, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of my wife. Right? And there's two of those four that I pay very close attention to accomplishing. And I'm not going to say which of the two. But God is one of them. So Abraham went completely on faith that God is who he says he is. And that he would do everything that he promised he would do. Hebrews 11, we read this just a minute ago. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. That's it. Right? That encapsulates the whole thing. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, where the designer and builder is God. Now, I relate to this somewhat. Tish and I came here to visit one week, and nobody knew who we were. This is before we came out here, obviously. But when we were getting ready to come, I was talking to Dan Biaggi, and Dan said, would you like us to hook you up with a realtor? Some of you know this story. When you get out here, I said, a realtor? Have you looked at your housing prices? Do you know any tent makers? And are there any overpasses that might have room? It was by far for us the scariest move. We're looking, we're like, well, first of all, we've never moved without kids. And we've never moved to a place where on the surface we're like, we can't survive there. And so we said, well, okay, God, you have to make this happen. And God makes it happen when God is the one that is doing the work. So we know the story of Abraham. He's 75 years old, right? Sarah has how many children? Zero. She's barren. The promised land is a far way off. And the promise is one that even Abraham knows he can't possibly live to see it fulfilled. How hard it had to have been for him to have the faith that he had, to uproot everything he knew, to take his family away from everything they knew. When you can't see the way forward, you can only put your trust in God. Verse 5, so Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, so here God is doing this again, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, I've been faithful. Here I am. And God said, this land I'm giving to you. Now, we know this story, right? Abraham's struggling to see God fulfilling this promise. So Abraham decides to take matters into his own hands. And he has a son with his wife's maid because Sarah still has zero children. And Abraham's an old man. And guess what? If Abraham's an old man, Sarah's an old woman. And she goes, okay, look. First of all, nobody wants to have a child at 75 years old. Well, maybe not nobody, but no sane person. Yeah, well, at least me. I'm 50 and I don't want to have a child. So by the time we come to the story of Mary and Joseph, we find them settled in the town of Nazareth, but they live there because of Abraham's faithfulness and the faithfulness of those who were on the journey to Bethlehem before them. God told Abraham to go to the land he would show them. He didn't draw them a map. They didn't know for sure where they were going or how they would get there. God expected them to trust him. This is so difficult, and sometimes we kind of have to look at this. It's difficult for us. God, what are you doing? How do we begin to trust you? But we can take comfort in the fact that it was difficult for Abraham to trust God. And when Abraham didn't trust God, to this day, we see the disastrous effects of Abraham's decisions, right? God said, to you and your descendants, I will give this land. And from that very moment to this very moment, there has not been peace in the Middle East. Because you have Isaac's offspring and Ishmael's offspring fighting over whose land it is. And apparently neither one of them read the book of Genesis. Right? It's like split the sucker down the middle. You take half, you take the other half. It's all desert. And go. And we see to this day the impact Abraham's disobedience. But we also see the beautiful fulfillment of God's promise in Abraham's life. Even when Abraham struggled and was unfaithful to God, God is always faithful to keep his promises. Amen? Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Like, you see the question mark there? It's like, are you kidding me? This is your plan? I mean, I don't have an heir, God. This isn't working for me. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring. And a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. This is such a neat thing. Abraham has such a relationship with God that he's able to have this conversation, and God is talking to him, saying, Abraham, just trust me. Abraham says, this clock isn't going backwards, God. It's going forward, and I still don't have a kid. And look who my only heir is. And really? And God said, just trust me. Takes him outside and says, look to the heavens. And by the way, back then you could see the stars because there wasn't so much light pollution, and said, as many of the stars, your offspring will be more than that. And you can almost picture Abraham rolling his eyes, saying, God, you keep saying that. But do you know how the heir thing works? Like, there has to be an offspring. You know how that happens, right? Because you're not helping that happen. Abraham could see the promise, but he couldn't see the fulfillment. He doesn't know how to get from here to there. He just knows that that's what God promised, and this is where we are. And so often, this is where we find ourselves. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We know that, but we like to see things, right? So my neighbors have this sign in their yard, and I've went over and talked to them. They're really nice people. It says, science is real. Now, I know what it means, but what they don't know is I agree with that 100%. Science is real because God created science, right? The whole gravity thing and, you know, God did that. God makes a covenant with Abraham and tells him of the coming captivity. Hey, Abraham, I'm going to make you great. And after this, I need you to know your people are going to be taken into captivity. And they're going to spend some time there, and then I'm going to let them out. And he assures him, long after you're dead, Abraham, I'm going to keep my promise. Still, Abraham needs to see something, so God seals his promise with Abraham, Genesis 15, 17 through 19. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. So Abraham was ordered by God. He took heifers and different animals and he cut them in half and laid them out. Cut them in half like long ways. Laid them out. And this pot, so the Spirit of God then passes in between the two. It says, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, and then it goes on. And then we go to chapter 17. In chapter 17, Abraham is now 99 years old. This is getting a little old, right? God renews his covenant with Abram, changes his name to Abraham, and introduces circumcision. Now, you have to know at this point, Abraham's like, okay, first of all, I'm 99 years old. So circumcision, really? And how is that going to help with being an heir or creating heirs? Because that's going to take some healing time. This is not moving even in the right direction. And Abraham struggles with his age. He's, I'm 99 years old. I love my wife, but she's old. Genesis 17, 15 through 17. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Right? This is the man who's in the heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. He's 99 years old, and God is saying this again, and this promise, and saying, oh, but it's Sarah, and kings and nations will come from her. And he fell on his face and laughed and said to him, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He does not see the way forward. He's like, God, you've been saying this for 25 years. And look at us. We're old people. This is not going to happen. Is this really going to happen? We cannot substitute our plans for God's will. It's where it ends, right? This is God's will. We can't say, but you know, it'd be really nice, God, if you did this. And since you didn't think of it, and it's so brilliant, I think I'll go ahead and do it. If you've thought of it, God has already thought of it. If God didn't put it into action, it's not as brilliant as you think it is. We cannot substitute our plans for God's will. Abraham went through periods of faithfulness, periods of doubt. He begged, he pleaded, he devised, he schemed his own plans. But ultimately, God has a plan. And guess what? His will is always right. When his will gets off track is when we go sideways, not when God goes sideways. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. I'll say, right? Because now she's like in her 90s. And by the way, I've had three kids, and in my 20s, having children was difficult, right? Up at midnight, up at 2, up at 4. And then the things that they create from what you feed them, it's like, I'm going to quit feeding this child. They don't make diapers right. And yeah, I remember that exhaust. They're 100 years old. And didn't have Huggies. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashores. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles, not in the land, but on the earth. See, we see, or should see, with eyes towards eternity. We're strangers and exiles, not in our country, but on this planet. We are the illegal aliens, right? We are the ones that have been sent. We are the invading force with the gospel message that we're supposed to be sharing. We have the privilege of seeing God's faithfulness in this journey. Abraham is one step in that journey that takes us to Bethlehem, where the Savior is born. But the journey, we know, doesn't stop in Bethlehem. The journey stops in eternity, right? But the next stop between Bethlehem and eternity is Jerusalem at Golgotha. Abraham is part of God's plan, but he's an important part. It is, after all, through him that our Savior would come, and in keeping with the promise, all of the people of the world. Because remember, no one comes to the Father but through the Son. And the Son is a descendant of Abraham. Everyone who has ever stepped foot on this planet to go to heaven, to get to the Father, must come through Jesus, the Son. So truly it is a true saying, all of the people of the world will be blessed because of Abraham. God has a plan still, right? So we've gone through Bethlehem, we've gone through Jerusalem. Eternity's right here. We don't know how far this distance is. We don't know. God just says, keep going. You're going to a land that I will show you. And you have a part in that journey. And you may say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And it's really hard because vets have been places that we don't go. They have seen things that many of us will never see and done things that they wonder themselves if God can forgive. But let me assure you, nothing escapes the eyes of the Father. And nothing is so large that it cannot be covered by the blood of His Son. And every person has a plan or has a part in this journey between Jerusalem and eternity. Don't count yourself out because of what you've gone through, or because of what you've done, or because of what someone has told you or taught you. God has a plan. He created and gifted you to be part of that plan, because He knew you before the foundations of the earth were created and has loved you from that time forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for Your people. Father, we thank You that You have a plan, that You know where we're going. Father, You have called us to be faithful to Your word, to be faithful to Your teaching. And Father, not just us, we're a family, the family of Abraham. Lord, we're honored and privileged to serve together people from different continents, different colors, even people who eat vegetables. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness in all of these things. Father, we thank You for our brothers and sisters at Redwood Chapel. We pray that You would continue to bless them and encourage them and to lift them up. Father, that they would maintain a good reputation, that they may continue to share the gospel with others. Father, for Reverend Barbara down at the Nazarene Church, for Pastor Ray in Hayward, for so many, Pastor Dubonnier and Pastor Danny Strange. Father, men and women serving You faithfully with one goal, the goal that the lost and dying world that we live in may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that we would be counted faithful, that we would keep our eyes on the goal and not on the things that so easily distract us, not pulled away by our passions or our fears or hindered by lies or different paths. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness in all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.